Five, four, three, two, one. I'm John Miglosh for the WDMA. Look at that sign. And let's get over to the news. Okay, here we go. Do Good Chicken markets a painless way to save the planet. You betcha. So let's go over here and...
What can you do to help save our planet?
Save our planet?
Mom, where's my...
Do you recycle?
Yep. Oops.
Compost?
Of course.
Maybe you could commute by bicycle. Okay, can you eat chicken?
Yes.
Delicious Do Good Chicken. Fight food waste and combat climate change from your kitchen.
Okay, I like that other graphic better. I don't know quite. Okay, so the story is, as you always want to know the story, right? The story is that Do Good Chicken was founded a few years ago. Here's another commercial. That one isn't as it's. I don't know if it's funny or not. It just doesn't make any sense that they're out there in lawn chairs. I'm not quite sure what the deal is either, because they're freezing, and they want to combat climate change, I think. Stop the melt. It looks like they're plenty cold. Anyway, Do Good Chicken raises chickens fed with upcycled grocery store waste. So we have a food bank here in town, and every now and then in the dumpster I see the leftovers, it's because it's right near here, of just, you know, bushels and bushels of what looks like perfect bread. So this company has taken that waste, the waste that, you know, maybe gets donated, maybe later it doesn't, you know, to Second Harvesters. I used to work with Second Harvesters. It just started up last year. Groceries takes the stuff that grocery stores can't sell or donate and processes them into chicken feed. Now, I think this has been going on forever, right? I remember seeing a Dirty Jobs episode where they took the food waste from big restaurants in Las Vegas, the casino restaurants, and shipped it out to a pig farm that cooked it down into sort of a slop, and it was one of the most memorable Dirty Jobs, one of the most dirty jobs I've ever seen. But it does make sense generally in recycling. This has very little to do with climate change, but it has a lot to do with utilizing good food waste, you know, stuff that can, something can be done with it. And so I applaud them. I don't think it's going to save the, you know, I'm a little bit of a skeptic, and I have an alternative theory, but it seems to be available in East Coast markets, and they're also advertising in Midwest Living, so maybe it's coming to a store near you. You'd think if they get free chicken food that they ought to be able to be less expensive. That would be something. But probably not. Anyway, this was a big one I thought was kind of cool. LinkedIn adds dyslexic thinking to the skills list. Okay, so why my dyslexic thinking is a skill. That's by Kathy Wright. And I thought this was pretty excellent. I mean, I don't know. I've never been diagnosed as dyslexic, so I don't really know. But I had this friend, Matthew Shawl, great PhD in statistics, and we worked together at Musician's Friend and on a few other projects. And Matthew not only was a good statistician, but he liked to canoe and kayak and get in the outdoors and stuff. Not the bookish type. And I said to him one day, Matthew, you're one of the few statisticians that I have ever kind of enjoyed relating to. And he said, what brain injury did you have as a child? And I didn't know what he said. I said, wait, back up. And he said it again. And so I said, well, tell me about it. And he said, well, when he was 3 years old, his dad decided he shouldn't be left-handed, and so tied his left arm behind his back and forced him to be right-handed. So much for playing first base in the majors. But anyway, he said that the bottom line was that he believed that if you cracked his head open, he'd have more left-right hemispheric connections than the average person. So he was both right brain, left brain, analytical and creative. Okay. So he said, what brain injury do you have as a child? And I said, I had encephalitis at 3.5. And he said, I bet your brain rewired itself and it, and you have more of those. And, you know, I have some background or some skill in painting and in music and in poetry and obviously in video, but also in analytical statistics and math. But when I was in high school, I found that in geometry and algebra and things, I could look at an equation and graph it without working it out. And I could often take a graph and say, oh, I understand this is what the equation is going to look like. And so I had a very geometric way to work with numbers. And it was not the way they wanted me to do it. But I was a very, very, very good problem solver and went on to get a master's in philosophy. The University of Wisconsin said when I took the aptitude test that I wasn't good enough in math. I had won a state math award, but I wasn't good enough in math because of my add, subtract, multiply, and divide. So I've always believed I was dyslexic. And so Katie goes and explains some of the benefits. And one of the most striking things was, and she referenced the LinkedIn article, was that by the year, according to studies, by the year 2025, which is really just around the corner, humanity will be splitting its workload with AI 50-50. Very difficult to believe that, but, you know, okay. And so diverse outside the box, one of my management friends, very, very accomplished author and such, said, he said, when you think of out of the box and you look at John, you say, where's the box? What box? Anyway, so out of the box thinking is very important. And of course, you know that this show is out of the box thinking. I've had this skill to be able to flip the United States and even like the WDMA thing. It's backwards. I don't flip my screen. I can just handle my screen. I can handle my screen backwards because I flip it in my head with very, very little or no effort. Now, the question is, so if you're hiring, consider nuances of neurodiversity to understand new places to find skill sets that you're in need of. You know, I've had the ability over the 40 years of consulting to walk into companies and say, did you notice this? And they all look at me funny, like, where'd he come up with this? I did work for Harbor Freight once, and that's what they did. They didn't show me. They didn't tell me what was wrong with the company. They didn't tell me what they wanted fixed. They wanted me to tell them what was wrong with the company. Having never been there before, I never really ordered from them. And I did it. And they said, how did you do that? So I think that that's because of dyslexic thinking. I think I take in the world in a different way. And so will I click the dyslexic thinking box on LinkedIn? I might do it. I don't know. Welcome your comments. If you have some dyslexic tendencies, I suppose it's a spectrum. If you haven't had a brain injury, you might be okay. But I just think it's interesting. Okay, now here's another article. Why are Americans still ignoring our junk mail? And presumably that is the question offered by the New York Daily News on behalf of the merchants who are sending out so many pieces of mail. So Tim goes on to tell the story of 14 years ago, they got beautiful placemats from Beller Designs as a wedding gift. And the funny part was that they didn't have any plates. So they decided to exchange the placemats for plates. And every month they have gotten a Beller Design catalog, like a horror film villain slowly suffocating us with throw pillows. Someone at the far end of the ether has decided it's best to put this into my hand and physically task me with the ritual of waste. Okay, well, we're talking about recycling. And so the question is, why do you get mailed? And the answer is simply because the mailers, on balance, in the segment that you're in, it continues to be profitable. And I can't really answer for Ballard Designs. I've never worked with them. But we often find, when we do work with a new client, often, we find that what they've done is they've converted from one order processing system to another. They've hardwired the customer scores in order to take one historical data set into the new system. And all too often, it never gets updated, never gets recalculated. And so people are continually in the twilight zone of inactivity while still being viewed as prime customers. And, you know, we found as many as 40,000 perfectly dead customers that haven't ordered in years and years and years and are mailed every month. If you never take your customer file somewhere else to get it scored, if you never get it evaluated, then it's highly likely. It happens almost every time we do it, right? So I have a map. I don't know, you can't see it. But right behind me, I have a map on my computer. Let's see what comes up. Let's see if I can show you. Well, this is a map of Chicago. You can't see what's going on there. But it's a customer file, and it's significant. And we're trying to calculate the value of each customer. That's what we do. And the company that we're doing it for has really never done this. And they have some 30 years or something of customer history. So anyway, it's not because the company doesn't want to mail the most likely prospects within their customer file. It's because they're using a system that they trust and they don't want to spend the money to get it reevaluated. But I highly recommend that you do. Okay. And this goes on to talk about how many catalogs we throw away, which is true, but most of it's much of it's printed on recycled paper, so it's already a second use. You can get those log rollers and throw them in the fireplace. I use them as cutting boards here at the office. But if you have a problem, you know, hey, call me up. Tell me who's mailing you too much. I'm going to get in touch with Ballard Designs. I'm sure I can find somebody there. And send them this article because they have a responsibility, I think. And yesterday, if you missed the show, we talked about how to get off the catalog lists. So, Tim, check out yesterday's show, and there's two good ways that you can get off the Ballard Designs besides even contacting Ballard Designs. But they're probably a pretty good company, and you might want to buy from them. Then it'll all make sense. Have a great day. Like and share. Your friends will know you're smart. Bye-bye.